Could the stock really be up for every single Miami Hurricanes position group?
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Saturday. I'm Alex Dono, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. Thank you so much to the everydayers for making Locked On Canes your first listen today and each and every day. So we had a great question come in yesterday from one of our listeners, David Carbone, that instead of including it with our Friday Q&A, I wanted to devote a little bit more time to this one. He says, hey, I missed your stock up, stock down episodes. I know it's mainly for individual players during the season, but how about a version comparing each position room compared to 2022? So, oh, man. And here's the thing. When I go through position by position, and spoiler alert, I'm feeling pretty darn good about most of these compared to last year. Like, I'm not saying, hey, compared to Alabama or compared to Georgia, I feel no, but compared to Miami last year, I feel good, better about most position groups. I look at this, folks, and I say, man, if Miami doesn't improve significantly from a win-loss standpoint compared to 2022's 5-7 record, we're going to be looking back on this upcoming season as a massive disappointment, because on paper, the Canes do look better and deeper in many, if not most, position groups. Let's start with the offense, okay? Wide receiver. I'm definitely buying. I think the stock is up and the stock is going up at wide receiver. No significant losses from last year. Miami added two difference makers within the last few weeks. Shamar Kirk and Tyler Harrell in the transfer portal. Kirk is a pretty darn complete wide receiver. I think the only knock on Shamar Kirk is he was playing against junior college level competition. We'll see how that translates into the ACC and the Power Five. But Tyler Harrell, the only knock on him is he fully recovered from the lower body injury? I think he is. Everything I've heard on that standpoint is that he's healthy. And if he's healthy, that's a guy who can run a 4-2 and take a top off of any defense. So those are significant additions at the wide receiver position. You also added Ray Joseph and Robbie Washington in recruiting. And I think it's fair to say that someone like Colby Young in his second year at Miami is going to be better and more comfortable. And I think the same can be said for Jacoby George heading into his, I think, third year now in the program. And if Restrepo can be healthy for a full season, he can make some magic happen. And there are other names, Isaiah Horton, Rashard Smith. I could go on and on. I feel really, really good about Miami's wide receiver room right now, a lot better than I felt about last year. So I'm loading up on wide receiver stock. Running back, I'm loaded up here too, guys. Miami adds A.J. Allen from Nebraska, who... the more and more I study this guy, the more I think he can compete to start. I still consider Henry Parrish to be the favorite to begin the season as a starter, but that Allen can compete to start and put himself very heavily in that rotation. This guy is, he's a very, very well-rounded back. And, you know, Miami, they did lose Rooster and they lost Thad Franklin. They added four-star true freshmen, two of them, Mark Fletcher, who's a very complete back, and Chris Johnson, who's a burner. And Don Chaney's health is going to be an X factor, but he was healthy in spring and looked very good. And then maybe, you know, at some point we'll see Trevante Citizen, who's a really complete back. So I'm loading up on running back stock as well. I think that position group, it can really only go up from last year, because last year there were a lot of issues there. Henry Parrish was pretty good, but you know, everybody else was inconsistent or injured or, you know, just wasn't clicking with Thad Franklin last year, who's no longer with the program. I'm loading up at running back. Tight end. Okay, so the tight end position. Hear me out on this one, because some of you might think, well, if he's that bullish on running back and wide receiver, he's going to be crazy bullish on the tight end room. Long term, yes, I'm bullish on tight end. You know, when you bring in Riley Williams and Jackson Carver and Jaleel Skinner, still very young, long term, I'm very bullish. But for the short term, I've got a little bit of a wait and see approach at tight end. I may buy a small amount of stock here because losing Will Mallory, that's a big deal. And I think in the first few games, we're going to notice how big of a deal that is. He was your leading receiver last year and a major team leader. I don't think losing him should be underestimated, okay? Now, Elijah Arroyo, when healthy, probably tight end one this year, and he seems to be recovering very nicely from his ACL last year. I think he'll be ready to go, but is it going to take him a little, you know, while to kind of get his sea legs? Is he going to be fully, you know, is he going to be in full fitness? You know, Jaleel Skinner, he's, you know, relatively unproven, but obviously talent through the roof, Skinner, who can really be a weapon in the passing game. But, you know, compared to Will Mallory, who you lost, there's a lot of unproven commodities there. Miami did make a nice veteran addition of Cam McCormick as a blocking tight end. And I love, again, the freshmen, Riley Williams and Jackson Carver. So I think that this unit is going to end up being better off in the long run. But until someone proves to me they can fill the void that Will Mallory left, I'm not loading up on tight end stock just yet. Maybe for the 2024 season, that's when you say Miami's going to have probably the best or one of the best. I don't want to get crazy here, but maybe one of the best tight end rooms in the country. 2023, I have more of a wait and see approach. All right, so quarterback. You know, I'm buying a small amount of stock here in the quarterback position. Personnel, no dramatic changes, right? Now, Jake Garcia, no longer with the program. He was surprisingly not good last year, so I don't know how much of a loss that's going to be. You know, Emery Williams comes in as a true freshman, but, you know, I hope we don't have to see him much this year because I want Emery Williams to redshirt and develop. So you've got Tyler Van Dyke as your starter again, Ja'Kari Brown as your backup. Now, I am high on Tyler Van Dyke because, A, an offense that's going to be a lot more comfortable for him. B, he's a year older and more experienced. C, better weapons to throw to, better offensive line, better protection. Would not surprise me if Van Dyke has a really huge year this year. So I'm pretty high on that unit. Obviously, the personnel, virtually identical from last year, but I think you can find improvement within that room. And then I think a question would be, you know, how much are we going to see Ja'Kari this year? Is there going to be like a package for him? You know, is there going to be a short yardage situation for him? I think we'll have a better idea of that. I don't know. Honestly, we probably won't know a whole lot about that in fall camp because they'll keep some of that gadgety stuff pretty close to the vest. So we may not know until they actually play Texas A&M. May give us the idea as to whether or not there's going to be any sort of a Ja'Kari Brown package this year. But I do think Ja'Kari Brown, an extra year maturity, he showed a lot of improvement as a thrower and a passer in spring football. I think he's going to be a better backup than he was last year. And I think Tyler Van Dyke is going to be a better starting quarterback than he was last year. So, yeah, I'm buying some stock at the quarterback position. Offensive line. Yeah, here I'm loading. I'm loading up on O-line stock. That's going way up. Imagine if you could go back in time and buy Apple stock like in the early 80s or late 70s, whenever it was, back when Steve Jobs and his nerd buddies were working out of their garages. If you could buy Apple stock back then, that's the type of opportunity we have to buy offensive line stock right now. Javion Cohen and Matt Lee in the transfer portal, huge upgrades at left guard and at center. Francis Maligoa, a prodigy, and he's going to lock down the right tackle spot. If not, McCoy's going to try to come for his job. Apparently, Zion Nelson is healthy now at left tackle. Jalen Rivers, wherever he plays, he's going to be rock solid. And Nez Cooper is in even better shape than he was last year. He's trimmed down a little bit, got stronger and faster. He's got an extra year of experience. Pancake Honcho is going to be trying to take somebody's job. That dude is a stud in recruiting. So, yeah, I'm loading up on offensive line stock. We will talk about the defense when we come back. So you're going to want to keep it locked right here. Off-season stock report on Locked On Canes. And folks, I know you're keeping it locked always to FanDuel. You've been making some money this postseason, especially if you've been betting on Florida Panthers games. And we'll see what happens with these Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. But guys, we've been having a lot of fun at FanDuel, and it's a great time to get in. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. What? They've raised the stake. That's $2,500, $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. You have nothing to lose on that first bet. There's no better place to bet all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. Siri, I'm not talking to you right now. Siri's like trying to respond. She's trying to sign me up for a no sweat first bet right now. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get that no sweat first bet. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. And for the everydayers, oh, you know, we're going to be talking this week with Larry Bluestein, with Brian Smith, doing a lot of recruiting because Miami has those loaded official visit weekends coming up in the month of June. But let's continue the stock report. Let's take a look at the defense. Defensive line. Overall, stock is going up. I'm buying a few shares here. This is not quite as dramatic as the stock of the offensive line or the wide receiver room where I'm loading up, but the defensive line, I'm buying shares, and that's primarily due to what's happening at edge rusher. I'm feeling really good about this. You know, Miami keeps Mezidor and Harvey. Nigelie Kelly, who had a really good freshman year, is going into his sophomore year. I think Nigelie is going to blow up this year. I think Cyrus Moss is going to surprise people in a positive way and make more of an impact this year. And then Reuben Bain. I don't care if he's a true freshman or how old he is. This dude, he's going to be an ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year contender this year. The interior is going to be interesting, all right, because Miami lost Daryl Jackson. Losing Daryl, it's a big loss, literally and figuratively, it's a big loss, because he actually played more snaps than Leonard Taylor did last year, and he was a starter all season long. But you still do have Leonard Taylor, and LT has got first-round NFL draft potential. He's got to play like it. Joshua Horton, even as a true freshman, I think has a chance to contribute this season. Ahmad Moten, I think this is one of the guys who's the keys to the defense because he's got to step up. He's like 330 pounds heading into his second year. And as far as the guys Miami added in the portal, I know they didn't add like the 320-pounder that everybody wanted, but I like Anthony Campbell's height and wingspan a lot. It's 6'7". I think he can end up surprising some people. I think Branson Dean could very well be a candidate to start next to Leonard Taylor. He could end up being the top transfer addition there. And Thomas Gore from Georgia State, he's a little undersized, but the dude's got a crazy motor, and he can rush the passer from the interior, which is important. Now, linebacker. Linebacker, I think, is a position group we don't talk about as much as we should. I'm loading up there at linebacker, okay? I think this room is going to make a big jump. Wes Bissaint was the starting Will linebacker by the end of last year. That was as a true freshman. He was one of the better players on the field on defense as a true freshman at the end of last year. Can you imagine how much better Bissaint is going to be in year two, okay? Then you got Francisco Mauingoa, Kiko. He's probably going to start at Mike. That guy is a playmaker, had an excellent spring, the transfer from Washington State. And, you know, if he beats out Corey Flagg, if he doesn't, you know, or if he does, I like Corey Flagg for depth. If he doesn't start, same thing with Keontre Smith. And this is one of those things where Miami's in decent shape at linebacker 2023, but 2024 and beyond, we're going to start calling this thing linebacker U again pretty soon, because some of these young guys, my friends, Malik Bryant, Bobby Washington, Popo Aguirre, Marcellus Pulliam, this is the start of a linebacker renaissance at Miami. So I'm buying a lot of stock in this unit. Defensive backfield. This could end up being one of those like meme stocks that blows up. Like, you remember when we were all buying AMC and then it just blew up and we rode the wave? There could be high reward here in the defensive backfield. The safety room, it's top heavy, okay? But it's in pretty good shape as long as James Williams recovers and stays healthy. By the end of spring, he was good for non-contact stuff. He was participating in drills, which was great to see coming off the shoulder. So if James recovers fully and stays healthy, Miami might have two of the top five safeties in America, right? Because we already know Cam Kinchin's All-American, All-World. That dude's going to be fine. And then behind Cam and James, Markeith Williams had a really good spring. Caleb Spencer, true freshman phenomenon. Brian Balaam, they add quality depth. I think the Canes this year, are probably better off at cornerback this year than they were last year. I know that they technically lost two to the NFL from last year. I'm going to miss Tyreek Stevenson a little bit more than I miss the other one, but you did lose two corners to the NFL draft last year. But you bring in, you replace Ivy and Stevenson with Devontae Brown, who comes in experience, has started over 30 games. Jadeus Richard, who was a starter at Vanderbilt by the end of the year before he transferred and looked really good. Jaden Davis from Oklahoma. Chris Graves, who's not a transfer. He's been on the team, but we don't talk about him nearly enough. And Terry Roberts from Iowa. Nobody talks about that dude enough. So I don't know, man. I'm cautiously optimistic that Miami's cornerback room could even be, you know, in better shape than last year, despite the fact that you lost two guys into the NFL draft. So I'm going to say stock is going up there as well. You know, kicker, you know, I think Andy Borgalis, another year of experience. I see no reason why his stock won't, you know, tick up just a little bit. Okay, if you want me to give you stock down on something, right, because you're like, oh, and I know what's going to happen in the comments. The Seminoles fans are going to be like, this guy said they're going to go undefeated. No, I didn't say that, right? But they got better at every position. Honestly, it's a testament to Mario's recruiting and Miami's transfer portal, where I think that Miami did get a little bit better at most every position, folks. But if you're going to say stock going down somewhere, I'm going to say punter. How do you replace Lou Headley? You know, you can go out and get another Australian with a glorious mustache, and Dylan Joyce, I will give this dude a chance, because, you know, everything I've heard about Dylan Joyce, who comes out of one of those punting factories down under there. Good eye, mate. Everything I've heard about Dylan Joyce is overwhelmingly positive. I just, you know, Lou Headley was, you know, one of the best, one of the better Miami punters of a generation. So that's going to be a hard guy to replace. We'll see if Dylan Joyce can fill those very, very big shoes of Lou Headley. So hope you guys appreciated our off-season stock report. And so, folks, make sure, by the way, if you want to take your everydayer experience to the next level, make sure to join our exclusive SMS texting community through Subtext. You guys get text directly to your phones from mine, okay? I give you recruiting scoops, one-on-one chats, Q&As, show previews and notes before anybody else can see or hear them. There's a lot of added value there, so subscribe to our Subtext community. I include the link in the show description below, completely free for the first 14 days. And then if you want to opt in, $4.99 a month, we give you a lot of extra added value there. So check out our exclusive Subtext community. And we'll talk to you guys again next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.